Hey everybody, we're over here at MSR talking to Benko again. And Benko, tell us a little bit about the space that we're in.
Hi, sure. So this is our project called Lightspace, and the idea here is to use projectors and depth sensing cameras to augment the space and to make the whole space interactive. What you see up there, we have three cameras right here and three projectors kind of around them. You can think about them as roughly paired, but they're mostly covering similar areas. They overlap in various areas, but that's actually by design. We don't want to have too many discontinuities in the space. We want to be able to, as you have something in your hand, to move it to the other side without necessarily losing the tracking and losing where you are. So there's some slight overlap between them, but they mostly are kind of next to each other. Each of these cameras reports not only the color information but also the distance of objects to the camera. So what we are using the setup above our heads is to simulate interactivity on every surface in the environment and also between surfaces. And I'll just demonstrate for a second. So here we have a standard issue table. Nothing is really special about it. It's just a piece of plywood on top of two legs. But we can simulate kind of interactive surface behavior, something, you know, very simple, kind of scaling, moving, and rotating interactions directly on it by looking from above what's happening in there. We can also use the information that we are in the space and we're being imaged by these cameras to connect spaces. So, for example, I can touch this object here and in the same time touch the wall here. Now I made a connection and I've actually transitioned object from the table to the wall. And again, similarly, this is nothing but a piece of foam core, but because we are sensing from above, we can actually illustrate and we can actually make this space interactive, make the surface completely interactive in a similar way. So again, we can take an object and move it back to the table and simply make a transition through our body.
And you're doing multi-touch on both of these surfaces,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. It's imaging everything that I'm doing. So currently, you know, we can simulate having a multi-touch table, even though these are really just passive pieces of furniture right now.
And what made you decide to go with a projected system instead of a couple of displays?
So, well, in addition to being able to simulate these interactive surfaces, we really wanted to enable the interaction between the spaces, so between the wall and the table in this case. So in order to do that, we need to be able to we wanted to be able to give the user some feedback and wanted to be able to project. So right now what we can do is we can actually pick up an object directly from a table and literally pick it up and put it in your hand. You can even juggle it around a little bit. And so this is one way that you can actually carry something around and again, connect to the table behind us.
And you wouldn't be able to do that if you were using a couple of displays.
So we're imbuing all the objects with extra interactivity, even when they don't have it. Now, that's not to say that we couldn't actually bring extra laptops and use them in conjunction, but here we're just exploring this idea of how to simulate everything from just this kind of a smart combination of a projector and a camera.
Very nice. And I notice over on the floor we've got something being projected here.
Oh, sure. This is another concept that we've looked into, which is an idea that we can have spatial widgets. Since we are able to interact in the space, you can actually have widgets that occupy a certain space, but they're not actual physical objects. So this widget, this menu widget that's displayed on the floor, is actually a volume. It's operated by a volume above it. So you see here, as I move my hand, I activate different options in this menu. Right now we're watching videos, and let's switch this to pictures. We switch simply by holding our hand in there.
And so it's a time-based select. You just
hold
your hand there for a second?
Exactly, yeah.
Very cool.
The interesting thing about that one is that we can now start reasoning about who is actually operating these widgets. So, for example, when I put my hand inside, the lettering, the text on the menu options is oriented towards me because the system can track who is actually operating this menu. When you put your hand inside and try to operate this widget, the text is oriented towards you.
Very cool.
You just need to hold your hand in there for 2 seconds to activate. So let me turn the highlighting on for a second. Right now, we're actually highlighting all different entities in the space. So we can see that the light space setup is treating me as one particular entity in space. Now, we don't actually reason about where your hand is, where your head is, but we're just tracking kind of a you as a blob in space, and that's one particular entity. If you step into the scene, you will be colored in a completely different color than I am. So the colors are kind of just random. So this is blue, and I'm pink. We can use this idea that that we are two separate entities, and we can also use the fact that when we merge, for example, when we shake hands, we become the same entity, and that gives us some unique capabilities. For example, I can actually hold the picture here, and we can make it a link. If we connect, and now you touch the wall, we can actually, through our bodies, we've made a connection. So our reasoning actually has right now made a connection between the wall and the table directly through both of us kind of cooperating together.
Very cool. So what are some of the applications that we're thinking about along this?
So the obvious application scenarios is any application where you have multiple surfaces and multiple people, for example, in there to simulate interactions between them. One of the uses that I'm particularly interested in is thinking about this as a very kind of a smart sensor. So we can all of a sudden you can have this very rich information data set coming from the sensor about how many people are in the space, who is communicating to who, how are we oriented, what are we touching, are we doing more interaction here over the table or more over the wall, how are we transitioning, how are we connecting. All this information is available directly by just looking at the data stream from our cameras. In addition to that, it's interesting to really think about smart spaces and how do we really... We now have kind of these islands of interactivity. We have our laptop, we have our desktop. The connectivity between these little islands is really difficult. How do you transition objects between them? How do you make it very seamless and fluid? In, let's say, a meeting scenario, you have a bunch of people coming into the meeting room. How do you take something that's projected on your laptop and maybe throw it onto the whiteboard and really use the space around you to its fullest extent, not just have like one dedicated projection surface you need to plug in the cable, for example, things like that. So those are the idea of the smart spaces, and especially the smart combination of projectors and cameras that are almost like smart lights in effect. Those are the ideas that we're chasing in this particular demo.
When I walked in, one of the things that kind of surprised me is I expected as I entered into the space that I'd just be washed in light. But I noticed that you are not. So it's occluding where you're standing?
Right now. Yeah, exactly. We take special care to basically block off the light to where your hand is. That also prevents you from, if you're standing in front of a screen and if you look around, you're not actually being blinded by the projector.
Yeah.
It also does not, it actually shows you the extent of our tracking as well. But it's a good and easy way of saying, you know, don't project over here. We're actually, your hand is occluding that particular part of the display. Yes.
Great. Can we see a little behind the scenes on
how
this
definitely,
works?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Andy over there is going to show you
I want to
more.
Check that out
sure.
next.
Thanks.
Great. All right, so now we're going to see a little bit about behind the scenes on how Lightspace works. And tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do here at MSR.
So my name is Andy Wilson. I'm a senior researcher at Microsoft Research, and I've been playing around with sensing systems for a little while. Today I'd like to show you a little bit how Lightspace works. Lightspace uses three depth cameras together to basically look at this office space, this office-sized room. These three images up here are being updated in real time from three depth cameras that are hung in the ceiling. And you can see that you get this sort of grayscale pattern. Well, each pixel here, the value at each pixel indicates the distance from the camera. So most cameras give you color. The camera gives you depth to the nearest pixel. So the brighter the pixel, the further away that pixel is from the camera, except where it's all black. So we have three different cameras in this room. And basically what Lightspace does is stitch those three cameras together to create an overall geometric model of the room and its contents. So you'll see here that there's Benko in there. He's moving through the space and manipulating images that are lying on this desktop. This gives you an idea of the geometrical model that we have for the room. So I can zoom in here and get a little bit of an idea what our
so you
model
can move,
looks like.
Move around like a 3D space.
Mm-hmm. This is just a viewer that shows you what the system understands in the scene. So it gives you an idea of the precision and so forth. So another interesting thing is that you can see here, of course, as he transitions objects from one surface to the other, you can see that he's touching the table and then touching the wall. Another
like,
part of this.
I like how when he makes it bigger, it hangs off the edge of the table that's not really there. That's very cool.
Right. So everything is a 3D object in our scene. Eventually, what we would like to have happen is maybe he pushes the photo off the edge of the table, it teeters for a moment, and then falls to the ground. Yeah. There's really no reason why we can't do that. Here's another fun thing we saw earlier. When Beko was showing the ability to drag the photo off into his hands, this is what was really going on behind the scenes. So here we have a graphical sphere that shows that interaction, and you can see that he's moving that back and forth in his hand. Now he's pulling out the piece of cardboard, and now you can see the ball rolling around. So that the movement of the sphere is governed by a very simple physics engine that's basically calculating what to do next. It likes to go downhill. It doesn't want to leap off the edge and onto the floor, and so forth. So finally, this user interface also shows a few other interesting things. This view here is basically a plan view of the space, and you can see there's you, Larry, and then Benko is over here moving through the space. Basically, we keep track of the individuals that are moving through the space as separate entities. And then over here,
Can you tell orientation from that?
We can get very coarse orientation from this view. Basically, this is a 2D version of this image. Mm-hmm. So we can do various kinds of image computations on this view, or we can actually go back into this mesh model and actually do computations there as well. Sometimes it's easier to do things in 2D. We have a lot of simple image processing techniques that we like to use on the 2D images. This is the table view. So this is basically the image that's synthesized from the tabletop. If you're familiar with Microsoft Surface and the way that it works, well, we are emulating that behavior in many ways. So each one of those blobs then is the hands, his hands on the surface. And then we have the same thing going on with the wall right there. And so now you see two hands. So that's basically the same idea. And now when he touches the wall and the tabletop at the same time, you can actually see, you can almost see from this image, you see a contact here that's connected through this other blob in this image. And that's how we detect these transitions. It's really computing a physical property of the world by doing various kinds of simple image processing techniques.
So a lot of this looks like some of the things I've seen with Kinect. Is it using some of the same technologies?
The depth camera technology that we're using is basically an early version of what's in the Kinect camera.
Great. And what are some of the other applications that you see for this?
Well, we're looking at all sorts of deployments in spaces like conference rooms and other maybe collaborative spaces, these kinds of things. We envision the ability to, you know, move the tabletop around, maybe assemble a room.
As you move that table, it would dynamically change the picture so that the display follows with it?
Exactly. And so that would be something that might be useful for a collaborative setting, your brainstorming and that sort of thing. In a conference room setting, we envision maybe you sit down to your conference table and the documents that belong to you, your public documents, spill out in front of you.
Yeah.
And the system knows that because it tracks you and reasons about where all your stuff should go. And furthermore, if you're sitting across the table from me and I want to share a document to you, maybe I just do this kind of gesture.
And if you need a bigger display, just drag over another table.
Yeah, exactly. So
very cool.
Potentially every surface in your room is an interactive surface.
Interesting. Well, thanks for showing us this today.
Thank you. Our pleasure.